Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
That Man United-Arsenal rivalry was incredible. And the way it developed that stage, they get the one league title. You've Ronaldo in there, you've Rooney in there. I think it was incredible, really.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
We're talking about the issue of integration. I'm delighted to say Michelle O'Malley is with us. Michelle, you're a member of the Na Fianna Club in Meath, is that right?
Yes, yeah, and a former dual player. Also would have been Camogie chairperson, ladies football chairperson, secretary to the club. So I'm very familiar with how the fixtures are successful for the men in the hurling and the football. So I've seen it all, and I suppose the experience with Na Fianna that we've had in 2023 with the Leinster quarterfinal, Leinster semi-final, and then the All-Ireland semi-finals, back-to-back games with 12 dual players, 9 starting dual players.
So what was the experience for people who are unfamiliar with that, just because it's a story that is worth...
Yeah, we done very well in our county. So when you're playing Camogie in Meath, you are senior. We were senior in Meath, but when you come out of the championships, you're into Leinster, you're into intermediate. So we won the intermediate football final and we won the senior Camogie. So then we were into both in the intermediate Leinsters, okay, right. The provincials. So the first round of the game, Leinster, back-to-back quarterfinals.
When you say back to back,
literally a day apart.
Right.
So the Camogie was on the first day, the Saturday. The football was on the Sunday. Then the week after that, the weekend, same thing again, except for it was the football first and the Camogie second and the day after. So we thought this wasn't going to happen. It couldn't possibly happen further down the line. We were a little bit annoyed about it all. It just felt that it was very unfair when you're putting so much work and you're training and you're giving it your all, that you would expect that the two sporting organisations that should support each other more than any other sport out there don't. And that's the thing.
It's funny how we've been talking about integration, and it's integration of the GAA with the LGFA and the Camogie Association, but it's also the integration of the Camogie Association and the LGFA,
yeah,
which is kind of the underreported part of this whole thing, where for whatever reason, they just can't seem to get along.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to knock anybody in the work that they're doing. It's a voluntary run organisation. I've been there myself. I've sat in the committees. I know what's involved, and it is tough going. But you're trying to keep the both codes going in your club, right? You're trying to keep them going in Ireland and across all the counties. We love our sports. We want to continue playing both of them. We shouldn't have to choose. And I feel that's something that's going to happen. Players are actually going to have to choose one over the other because they won't work together. And what's going to happen with that is you're going to have 50% less teams, 50% less membership, and 50% less revenue. Where are they going to get the money to try and pay players their expenses at county level if they're not getting the footfall through the clubs?
That's the end of it. Are there any obvious solutions?
Well, you've got a template there that you could look to. Like every club is different. Every county and every club is different, okay? So you're getting your guidance from your counties. And in Meath, we're lucky enough in the last few years, it's progressed significantly and they are working better together.
And what was the... what was the thing that happened to me that allowed the county for the Camogie Association and the LGFA to work together?
The two organisations, the two county boards linked in with each other for fixtures, and they decided to work together and for the greater good of both codes.
A radical step.
It is, yeah.
Like it really isn't though, is it? You know?
Oh, it's just... And you know, the fixtures template there is for the men's, if they were to get a bit of guidance and rejig it a little bit. Like, we're not asking for them to reinvent the wheel, right? The fixtures have to be done. They're being done. Collaborate, work together. Let's progress this instead of regress it. You know, give players a fair chance. And also, while it impacts dual players on their player welfare, mental well-being, it's the same for non-dual. because non-dual players are going out to play against opposition that may have fresher legs, not as many dual players. It's not a level playing field. It's not a level playing field for management either.
And they probably don't know if they're going to have their teammates with them.
Yeah.
Now, look, some people out there are going to be like, yeah, you have to pick, tough luck. But ultimately, that's kind of a self-defeating discussion where maybe you put everything in place. And at that point, if dual players decide that they want to pick one or the other, they're not being forced to pick it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem that complicated a problem to solve.
Well, you would have thought so. Like, I think if they even look at Meath ladies football and Camogie and see how they're managing to link in with each other as a guide, even through the provincials, and then work out through then into the All-Irelands, like, surely the provincials, county boards can work better together in relation to this. Like, there are other counties that are deeply affected by this. Like Waterford, we've been in contact with, like, Madeligo and Edesha, JP Ryan and Micheál Power, about their experiences. And they actually pulled out of their county final in the Camogie because they played the day before in the football in the provincials. So it's impact in every county. And I'd say there's probably an average two or three clubs at a minimum that are experiencing something similar.
You've written the open letter to the LGFA and the Camogie Association. Why do they not want to fix it?
That is the million-dollar question. I can't get my head around it. I can't. I've sat in committees for years fighting for pitches so that we could get the same treatment as the guys in our club, and we have. You would imagine these two sporting organisations would say, let's work together, let's support each other, let's do whatever it takes as best we can. Like, it's not always going to be perfect, but at least try, you know.
Is it a competitiveness thing that we don't want to be seen to be given an inch because we're ceding ground to the other and we might be losing a player? It's the only thing I can come up with.
I know. It's baffling. It's actually baffling. Like, in the All-Ireland semi-finals, the girls played in Louth in Darver against Eglish, okay? And that game was at 3 o'clock. The girls, they played brilliant, they were unreal. And they had their food, the caterers in Darver. They had ice baths. They had to get on a bus, drive to Mallow to stay in a hotel that night, to get up and play at 2 o'clock the next day in an All-Ireland club semi-final. And you're like, and I was driving down the car thinking, I was exhausted and I didn't even play anything or do anything what they did. And I'm going, they're going to be so tired. They're just going to be wrecked. If they pull this out of the bag, it's going to be a miracle. And it was unfair. And I got emotional and I'm there like, the two organisations that should be helping this and preventing it are the ones that are letting us down. They're letting us down in female sports that we love so much, you know? Yeah.
Are there players in danger of jacking the whole thing in? Like, I mean, because that what you're describing there is totally unsustainable.
Oh, it could come to a stage where I believe that they're just going to turn around and say, both organisations, you're forcing us to choose. I'm actually not going to play either anymore, and I'm going to go and play soccer or I play rugby or I play something else. Because if that was me, that's what I would do. If this was happening back in the day when I was playing, you love the two of them equally. You're never going to pick one over the other. And you're just going to walk away from both. And then where are you? And the thing is, nobody has the monopoly really, the LGFA or the Camogie, over each other, right? Because their different counties are prominent and different and have different attendance and sports and etc. So they should be encouraging each other and they should be supporting each other and they should help, you know? Mm. And do what it takes.
The open letter is out there at the moment. It's been signed by Michelle Ryan, Breach Stack, Anya Moore, Libby Coppinger, Breach Corkery, Graham Geraghty, John McDermott, Tomás O'Shea, Oisín McConville, John Milan, Brick Walsh, James McCarthy, Dean Rock, Brian Flanagan, and a bunch of others.
Yeah.
Has anybody read it? Is there a conversation happening? Do you know, is it landing?
I think they're looking at, they've got the emails have been sent in, asking them to review and to discuss and come back to us. We're sending in, Rebecca O'Keefe wrote that letter, and it's a brilliant letter. So what we're doing, our next step is, we're emailing both organisations and ask them, what are they doing from a dual player perspective? on addressing this issue, because I don't think this is in focus for 2027. That's 4 years.
You think from a marketing perspective, we have big games coming thick and fast, but we're going to have a Camogie weekend and we're going to get all the media coverage this weekend, and then we're going to have a football weekend and we're going to get all the media coverage this weekend, and the stories that emerge from that and the TV coverage that emerges from that, as opposed to competing with each other and the coverage all being diffused.
Yeah. It's hard. You can't get your head around this. Like, it's like, you talk to anybody, like, we've support from so many people, and like John Milan would have experienced this in Waterford with his daughter as well. Like, and we're talking to these people and they're saying they just can't get their head around how this cannot work. Mm. It's like, why? What is the reason? Like, they're doing the fixtures already. Why not just collaborate? They've got a template there for the men to go by if that's the case, and rejig it slightly if it would help. Like, I know it's not easy, and they don't have as many teams as the men have to in the counties to actually, you know, to work with it.
Do you feel like integration would actually fix this? That in a way, if they got to the end point where it's a fully unified, everything is agreed, then almost automatically they have to address this problem.
I would have thought that, but the problem is, okay, 2027 is 4 years away, okay? And a lot can happen in 4 years. Will it actually happen in 2027? And is the dual player a focus for them? So that's the question we need to see. So we're emailing the two organisations and we're going to ask, what is the plan for the dual player? Because we've stressed our concerns. And we're doing this because we love both sports. Like, and the girls want to play it. Like, they should be able to even play at county level. Like, we've got girls that are playing either Camogie or football, and they're both dual players. They're all dual players. Like, the four girls on the Meads team last year from Nafina are dual players, dual club players. Sean Ennis is a dual player. So it's like, they should be able to even do it at county, but definitely a club. And I know they're trying to, you know, kind of get players to pick one over the other at county level, but yeah, I definitely think club should be able to work. It works in Meath, it works in other counties, and there's no issue with it for the men.
So you think this could actually fundamentally have an issue with derailing the whole thing?
No, I don't think it's going to derail the integration, right? That's going to go ahead. I just don't think it's going to, it's not a focus. The dual player is not a focus.
So it won't fix this problem?
It won't fix this problem. And we're asking them to fix it now, instead of waiting for the integration to happen, and then another few years later, this is going to be the next step and the damage is done. And you've got players, adult players, and you've got juvenile players choosing, and then it's too late. How are you going to get them all back to try and, you know, in 5 or 6 years? That's what you're looking at realistically. Like,
does it feel like Ger asked a question earlier on about the open letter and the conversation that might have ensued afterwards? And I don't want to lead the jury too much, but does it feel like your voice is being heard?
No. It's been heard against our support, like the signatures on the document, they fully support it, but I don't think it's been heard at the two organisations. I don't think they really, you know, if they'd a plan for the dual player, you'd think they'd come out forward with it. Like, and we've been open with them the whole time and honest and driving this letter, always kept them in the loop with everything, not, you know, doing anything behind anybody's back, being right up front with everything. And we've had replies from an organisation to say, look, it's in with the integration, that kind of thing, it's kind of a priority, but it's a very blasé kind of an attitude.
There was a form sent out, wasn't there, a few months ago? I got one through the club, and you fill out what are your concerns, what are your preferences around this. So I presume you were mobilised to respond to that with a bit of volume in terms of, let's try and get this message across.
Yeah, that was kind of, I filled that in before the early stages of last year, I think. It was before we even got to the county finals. So that was all done.
Okay.
So it wasn't as obvious, the situation. And then with the Ballyboat and St. Enda's going out to the papers about their situation, you had Saltell Knocknacara, the same thing. And then you had Nafina. We were in the papers quite a bit, done a few interviews. I was even on the on Andrea's show with Tom Curran, our chairperson. So, yeah, we had failed. But I knew the dual player was an issue, because in 2019, I was selector with the ladies' football. We had to forfeit a fixture because Camogie our senior camogie were on the same day. Now, we have improved in Meath in that regard. But I actually just walked away and I said, I cannot believe that we forfeited a fixture at senior level.
And so is there a room in the meantime for an honest broker to come in and say, look, we're going to get integration. And one of the things that will be good for everybody is to keep as many members as possible, as you say.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to need better resources.
Yeah.
And one way to have better resources is to have more members and to encourage more people. And so we want all the camogie players to be happy. And we want all the footballers to be happy. Like, is there room for the GAA to come in and say, why don't we trial a new committee where the three of us come together and we sort out some problems? What problems do we have? Oh, the dual players want to be good.
Yeah.
What opportunity for us here.
Like, it would, yeah. It'd be fantastic. It'd be definite progress, you know, 100%.
And it would be a sign from the GAA of their good intentions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jarlath Burns was to do it, given comments recently. It probably wouldn't be if he was show a lead on that, would probably be a welcome.
Oh, it would. Oh, at this stage, we're at the top table, we just feel our voices aren't being heard. And if they did something, just some come back to say, look, we are working on this. You mightn't realise it, but it is a focus point and we are going to address it. And we'd love to maybe talk to involve a few people that are in the situation or who are advocating for it or who want to see these changes. But we're finding it hard to get that engagement.
Is there any, is there talk about any action? There was obviously the club player association that was set up and since disbanded a couple of years ago, Anthony Moyles was involved in it. And obviously they had a mandate to take whatever action was necessary to try and get their mandate pushed through. Has there been any conversation about, like, if this status quo continues with silence effectively coming back to you about what action might be taken?
I don't know.
You're not talking about stuff like, you know, strike action or like.
I did mention that to someone, like, what if we boycotted paying membership, you know? And then someone said, oh no, we couldn't do that. And I said, but, you know, and I'm not advocating for that either. Like, but what do you do?
Something has to change.
Like, what do you do? We've done a letter, we've got signatures, we've contacted them, we're asking them, we're begging for them to actually let's progress our sports instead of regress it, because that's what's going to happen if players have to choose. Like, why would we want to do that? Why would any organisation want that to happen? You know, you would think, look, if there was a sign of players dropping out, and in female sports, a lot of players drop out, and this is the situation, we want to keep them going, you know, and it's such a, it's a healthy outlet for everybody. It's a release. It's, you know, it's fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be pressure. It's not supposed to be a worry. It's not supposed to be a concern. You're not meant to be playing games 24 hours a day. You wouldn't expect anybody to do that. You know, who would expect anybody to tog out less than 24 hours later to go out and perform in a game? Like, it's so unfair, especially nowadays where they, you know, it's a lot different than it was, say, 20 years ago or 30 years ago when people were probably playing back-to-back games. And you know, my father said, oh, sure, that was 20 years ago. And I'm going, yeah, but it's a lot different now. Mm. There's a lot more training.
We do appreciate that knees have ACLs and they go after, you know, and injuries occur when you're asking people to perform to their absolute best. Well, look, we obviously are going to follow the story. It is definitely a big piece of the integration jigsaw, how camogie and the LGFA are going to integrate as well as the rest of the GAA. One last thing that struck me, is there a pitches issue? Have they any defence around something going, we can only get pitches at a certain amount of times?
Look, when it comes to, if Nafina had won the football semi-final, they would have been playing in Croke Park back-to-back in All-Ireland final days. So it probably wasn't ideal for Nafina to progress. And I understand that the LGFA and the Camogie Association are given certain days to use for All-Ireland final days. But I'm wondering, if the GA was asked, if Croke Park was asked, would they have been able to push out one full day if there was, you know, play at the following weekend, either the Camogie all day or the LGFA day, considering it's player welfare issue, you know? And the team that they played against in the football in Cork, Glanmire, they actually had a few dual players as well, and they were in a similar situation. It's just that we had so many.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that, yeah.
All right. Well, look, we'll leave it there. It was great having you in and explaining the story to us, Michelle. Thanks a million.
No, but thank you very much for having me in, and representing the club and the ladies football in Camogie.
No worries. Michelle O'Malley from the Fianna Club in Meath there.
Off the ball, breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partners of the Gaelic Players Association and Leinster Rugby.